Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations, galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you in the Kia Studios on this Monday evening. With you for the full three. We ask you to download the Odyssey app. You're not in the car as much, although you may be stuck on the roads right about now because it's wrath of God outside. How quickly did it turn from like daylight into pitch black? Like in an instant here. But we ask you to download the Odyssey app. Because you're not in the car so much, put the Odyssey app on one of your devices today. Take the smartphone, take your Alexa speakers, you can use your tablet, you can use your Sony Walkman, your Blu-ray, your clock radio, whatever your device is, just download it on something to be able to catch us when you're on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And as always, best way to be a part of the show, follow us on our personal Twitter pages at JMCH316. That is your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. Producing the show, as always, on the other side of the glass, Day-Day is in the house at the D. Lewis for real. Whole bunch of stuff to get into with you here this evening. Let's start with the Braves as they took 2 out of 3 from the San Francisco Giants. I got beat up a little bit last night. That was the ESPN national game. But now head off to Denver. This is a chance for the guys to pad their stats, and I literally mean that. I mean, look, the Rockies are a dreadful, dreadful franchise. They're awful. They are 49-81. They are ready, 31 and a half games out of first place. And the Braves have won four more. The Dodgers have only won 80 games. The Braves have four more wins than the Dodgers. That would mean that they are 35 and a half games from the Atlanta Braves. They are a dreadful franchise. 28 and 33 at home, 21 and 48 on the road, minus 181 run differential. And the only reason that that's not the worst in Major League Baseball is because the godforsaken Oakland A's are a ready minus 302. They, along with the Kansas City Royals, have the second worst run differential in Major League Baseball. This should be a sweep. This should be a chance to pad your numbers. You're playing in Colorado. It's the best hitter's park in baseball. It's one of the toughest outfields. You know, Day-Day, the thing about the outfield grass at Coors Field, it's literally between 10-15% bigger than every other outfield in Major League Baseball. It's a very cavernous park, but balls fly out of there. We know that. But it's a very tough outfield. That's where Larry Walker was such a great outfielder, is because he could man that right field position like nobody else in Coors Field. Coors Field is a tough outfield to play. And the Braves have obviously plenty of speed to track down balls, but this should be a sweep. This should be the Braves kick the crap out of the Rockies. Kick the ever-living dog snot out of the Rockies. Pad your stats. Walk away with a victory. Now, Bryce Elder on the mound tonight. By the way, first pitch will be 8:40. Bryce Elder on the mound. We said, okay, we need Bryce Elder to make a good start. Had a monster start. Well, let me see it two in a row, back-to-back starts. Now he had back-to-back starts. Guess what? Now let me see it three times in a row. Let me have Bryce Elder go out there and shut down this lineup and come away with a victory, move to 11-4 on the season. And, again, this should be a kick-the-crap-out-of-them series. Oh, by the way, the Mutts are officially a game in last place. They are officially one game in last place over the Nationals. F the Mets.
F the Mets.
Step right up and F the Mets.
Bring your kitties and bring your wife.
They're gonna suck for the rest of your life. They are officially a game behind the Nationals now in last place. Couldn't happen to a better dirtbag organization. A flea bag, scuzz bucket organization. Good news for the Braves. Ozzie is back. Ozzie Albies is back. And your lineup tonight, Ronnie, Ozzie, Riley, Olson, Ozuna, Murphy, Arcia, Pilar, Michael Harris, and, of course, Bryce Elder on the mound tonight. So probably, with all due respect, probably not a better park to bring Ozzie Albies back into than Coors Field, where he can get a swing right. I mean, you know, if you're struggling, Coors Field is the ultimate elixir. I think that stadium in Philadelphia is the other elixir too. What do they call that? Is it the Great American Ballpark in Philadelphia? Yeah, that's another banned box. But Coors Field is, you know, you can get yourself healthy in a hurry in Coors Field. So good time to bring Ozzie back, but you know, look, here for the stretch drive, and we'll see what happens to all of it. Let's do say RIP to the great Pat Corrales. You know, he was, you know, for me, Day-Day, you know, he was one of the early managers, you know, as a Ute growing up when I was getting into my teenage years for the Cleveland Indians.
Okay.
You know, he was a manager from 83 to 87. And again, he had those Corey Snyder, Joe Carter, Julio Franco, Tony Bernazard, Brooke Jacoby, Pat Tabler, you know, those teams that he had. He had those. Remember when the Indians were on the cover of Sports Illustrated, where they had the cover of the baseball preview, and it was Joe Carter and Corey Snyder. they were on the cover for Tribe Thunder.
Yes.
What the quote said with the blue background, and it had the Chief Wahoo logo, and it was Tribe Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
Here we come, baby. And they were like a 100 loss team. But it was all good. I mean, they were exciting. You know, Brett Butler, Brooke Jacoby, Joe Carter, Corey Snyder, Tony Bernazard, Julio Franco, Carmen Castillo, Mel Hall, who was a dirtbag, Chris Bando, Sal's kid. Chris Bando was one of their catchers. Again, those were the glory days of the Indians when they were, you know, a 59 and 103, you know, loss team or whatever. So, again, but no, RIP to Pat Corrales, one of the great characters of baseball. He had some epic dust-ups as the manager for the Indians. Again, one of those guys that, you know, again, like Lou Piniella, Billy Martin, right? He was old-school guy all the way and would come out and argue with the umpires and leave it all out there on the field. So RIP to Pat Corrales. Obviously, a long time Atlanta Brave on their coaching staff and things. So rest in peace to the great Pat Corrales. Let's start with a better news. Atlanta United, they roll Nashville. And by the way, the 404 kits, baby. And listen, we all got our 404 kits. These things are awesome. I got to say that they are really great. And they look great. And, you know, thank you so much to Atlanta United for getting us. And they have the personalized Coke bottle.
Oh, nice.
As well. So nice. It's got John Chuckery. You know how Coke does, you know, like they'll do somebody like Jabroni.
Yeah.
Like they do somebody's name or Joe Bag of Donuts, right? So they've got all of our names on it. So thank you so much to Atlanta United.
Sweet.
Did you get one?
No. I'm too far down the totem pole there.
Well, listen, we've got you on High School Friday on football night. So anyway, but no, thank you to Atlanta United. The kits look awesome and everything along with it. So we thank you so much for all of that. But Atlanta United rolled. Second consecutive shutout. I mean, this is, you know, again, they're kind of rounding into form. Thiago Almada is a stud. And boy, if they can just keep their foot on the gas pedal. Because, again, MLS season is winding down here pretty quickly.
Yeah,
folks.
At least 2 points in, like, what, at least half of these remaining? Well, now not half anymore. But going in, it was 10 matches remaining.
Right.
And I think they needed, what, like at least 2 points?
I think, something like that. But, I mean, look. They've got back-to-back shutouts. We know the offense has been clicking. Just keep this pace up. Just get a flurry going down the stretch. Get a flurry going down the stretch, you know, to end the regular season. And listen, let's roll the dice. Again, they've made all kinds of moves this season. You know, we joked about the fact that I think last week Gonzalo Pineda was the MLS Coach of the Week. I don't know how often we've seen that, but again, I'm not picking on him. I'm just, you know, kind of a joke, just – again, this team is clicking now. Let's keep this momentum going. Now, on the other spectrum, and again, take it for what it is, it's preseason, but the Falcons. And by the way, we have not been here since the Falcons. You know, we were here that Tuesday. Well, no, was it Wednesday night? We were here last Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday.
We were here.
They played
on Thursday, obviously the high school football show Friday. I mean, look, I don't – the ones versus the threes – like, I'm not worried about that. That's never going to happen in an NFL game, right? You're never going to see somebody's number one unit versus another team's number three unit. So I'm not worried about that. I could care less about what happens with all of that. But I didn't think it was a great effort for the Falcons. I'm going to put it like this way. I didn't see some of that. It felt like that the defensive intensity lowered each game. It was great against the Dolphins, a little bit less against the Bungles, and then kind of the worst performance that they had against the Steelers. And not just, you know, Kenny Pickett and all that, who, by the way, Kenny Pickett, I think, had 9 drives in the preseason. And he scored touchdowns on all of them, or 6 drives and 6 touchdowns or whatever it was. I mean, 5 touchdowns, 5, whatever it was. He scored a touchdown every drive that he had in the preseason. But I thought the defensive intensity was a little bit less each week. And again, I mean, that's the thing, you know, I point my finger to is, you know, we got to make sure that we're getting after it. Again, we'll certainly have plenty of time to get ready for the Falcons. We will be joined by our buddy tonight, Michael Rothstein, beat reporter for the Falcons for ESPN. It's a, Daddy, I will just warn you, it's a lengthy interview. We can do a lot of different things. I mean, it's a little bit lengthy. And then we spent about 10 minutes off the phone chatting as well. So Mike's a great guy. I love Mike, and I have him. We have him on here on the show. I have him on my podcast. I mean, he's great. So I really enjoy Mike and talking with him. So we chop it up. We're going to talk some college football because, again, the great thing about college football is, and I know we got college football over the weekend. Vanderbilt's 1-0. The SEC is officially 1-0 and all this good stuff. But it all comes to a pass tonight. I mean, or this week. I mean, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, right? Like, this is the Daytona 500 of opening weekends of, you know, athletics. I mean, it's big time. And we start with Tech and, Louisville. On a Friday night. Let's get our guy Chad Bishop tomorrow. Let me tell you what. We're going to be really guest heavy tomorrow, I can tell you. We're going to be really guest heavy tomorrow. So, look, college football weekend kicks off this weekend. All the hype and hoopla, now we really get after it. And, of course, Georgia will be in action as well, but everybody in action this weekend. We'll talk to Matt Mershell from the Orlando,
Sentinel.
Sentinel, yes, yeah. The Orlando Sentinel. He's our national college football reporter. Matt does a great job. He's a really good guy to talk to. And I especially want to get into him with Florida State because we kind of touched on a little bit last time I talked to him, but I want to get a little bit deeper, you know, into this because I'm a believer this year in Florida State. And let me tell you, if Mike Norvell doesn't get it done this year, then I don't know when he's going to get it done. He's got a squad. And the ACC is not with divisions anymore, so it's not – you got to beat Clemson to be able to, you know, play in the ACC title. All you got to do is be number two. All right? All you got to do is be number two. No more divisions in the ACC. Just be number two. So we'll talk to Matt Mershell coming up here at 7:40 this evening. So, and we'll keep you up to date for as long as we're here because, again, the Braves don't get underway until 8:40 because they're in Denver, Colorado, which is supposed to be one of the most beautiful parks. You have you been to Coors Field?
Yes, I have. Okay. Yes. It's a very beautiful park.
Yeah. I mean, and the setting and everything is just great. Yeah. Right? I mean, mm-hmm. It's just – Yep. Denver seems like – I mean, Denver's – Denver feels like, I've never been to Denver, but it feels like an underrated town.
It is. I mean, just the landscaping, everything. It's a beautiful atmosphere. People are really cool. I've actually been to all the stadiums there. Well, it's not Mile High anymore. Forgot what it was. I think it was.
You know the first year that the Rockies played baseball, they played in Mile High Stadium.
Yeah, exactly.
And let me tell you, that was one of the best hitters parks of all time as well. Go look at the amount of triples that were hit in Mile High Stadium. It was ridiculous. I mean, some of the offensive numbers that were put up in that first year.
Yeah.
Even for an expansion team. But they played their first year in Mile High Stadium before they built Coors Field and all that.
Yep. Yeah.
And then Coors isn't even owned by an American, you know, Coors isn't even American owned anymore.
I know, right?
Coors is not owned by an American company. Right. Molson, right? Molson owns Coors.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. So yeah,
commies. Anyway, Canadian commies. Anyway, all right, when we get back, we're going to talk about Ronald Acuna Jr. You can jump in at 404-726-0929. Is this the best year a Braves outfielder has ever had? I'll put some of the numbers in context, and we'll get your thoughts. 404-726-0929. Chuck Green and Kia Studios. Sports Radio Now to the Game, Odyssey.com app.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios Monday night with you. 404-726-0929. That is our phone line, and it is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Asking you the question, is this the greatest year that a Braves outfielder has ever had, the season that Ronald Acuña Jr. is putting together? Day-Day, let me give you some context about the numbers that he's putting up, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he's on pace, and this is through games last night. So as of where we sit, you know, going into tonight's action, he's on pace for 35 homers, 93 RBI, 145 runs scored, 74 steals, 86 walks, 38 doubles, 4 triples, 77 extra base hits, with 216 hits and 367 total bases, okay? So let's put this into some context, as we always do, because we give you the facts, right? So the 367 total bases, and by the way, so we're clear, Day-Day, we're talking 20th century and beyond. We're not talking about Hugh Duffy in 1894 hitting 400.
Gotcha.
Okay?
Okay.
20th century and beyond. Okay? the 367 total bases would be the fifth most ever for an Atlanta, for either a Boston, Milwaukee, or Atlanta Brave. In Braves history, the 367 total bases would be the fifth highest number of all time. And by the way, Hank Aaron in 59, Aaron in 63, Aaron in 57, and Tommy Holmes in 1945. That's he also had 367 total bases. The 216 hits would be fifth most for a Braves player in franchise history. Tommy Holmes in 1945, Aaron in 59, Ralph Garr in 71, and Felipe Alou in 66 would be the guys that would be ahead of him. Fifth most hits, okay? The 330 batting average would be in the top 20 all-time in a Brave season. The 412 413 on-base percentage would be in the top 20 all-time. The 145 runs scored would be the most by a Braves player in franchise history. The leader, Dale Murphy in 1983, had 131 runs scored. Then you go to Rafael Furcal in 2003 with 130. The 74 stolen bases, that would be the most by a Braves player in modern-day history. Otis Nixon in 1991 had 72 stolen bases. That would be the most. 86 walks would be a career high. The most walks he's ever had in a season was in his second year where, again, he had the monster year where he hit 41 homers, stole 37 bases, and hit 280. The 76 walks would be his most. That would blow away his previous walk total of 76 in 2019. By the way, that year he struck out 188 times to 76 walks. Now, that's a staggering amount of strikeouts when you start pushing toward 200. This year, he's on pace for 92 strikeouts. Half his number from 2019 while increasing his walks by what? About 10%? No, not even 15%. I mean, if you look all across the numbers that he's putting up, just all around offense, he leads the league in plate appearances. He leads the league in runs scored. He leads the league in steals. Leads the league in caught stealing because he runs so much. But last year, he had 29 stolen bases with 11 caught stealing. This year, he's got 59 stolen bases with 11 caught stealing. Everywhere you look, his numbers are drastically better. And when you put, I think, the totality of everything together, I'm going to go ahead and say it, that this is the best year. And look, was I alive in 1959 to see Hank Aaron's season? Was I alive in 57, you know, when he was the MVP of the league? No. But when you look at in the context of what he's doing as a Braves player, Boston, Milwaukee, Atlanta, in the individual spectrum of, again, could be the all-time run scoring leader, stolen base leader, top five in hits, top five in total bases, top 20 in on base, top 20 in batting average, 86 walks, 77 extra base hits. Just on and on and on when you look at the numbers. I'm going to proclaim it. I think Ronald Acuña Jr. is having the best year by a Braves outfielder. And that takes in a lot of ground. Again, we saw Chipper. We saw Sheffield. We saw Andruw Jones. Again, Hank Aaron has been in the outfield for the Braves. All kinds of great. Rico Carty. Ralph Garr. All right, there have been a lot of great Braves out. Dale Murphy, two-time MVP. Been a lot of great years by Braves outfielders. But I think Ronald is having the best year of any of them. And I think when you look at the entire context of where he's on pace to finish all time in single season numbers. Again, I know Mookie Betts is having a great year. I know Freddie Freeman is having a monster year. I think Ronnie's the MVP of the league by far. And I don't, me personally, I don't think it should be as close as what some people think. Frankly, I think that Betts and Freddie Freeman will split the MVP award vote. When you've got two guys that are that good on one team, I think they split the vote, and I think Ronnie ends up running away with it. And certainly deserves so. But he's the best player on the best team in Major League Baseball. Sorry. I mean, sorry to Freddie. Sorry to Mookie Betts. Ronald Acuña Jr. is the best player on the best team in Major League Baseball. And I don't know that that factors into the MVP race, but let me tell you, it dang sure should. And I wanted to curse and say a four-letter word, okay? But it should. If you're the best player on the best team, that was my gripe in 1995, Day-Day, was it was so ridiculous that Albert Bell was not the MVP over Mo Vaughn. Albert Bell had the most impactful season, still did something that's never in a 144-game season, the first player ever and still the only player ever to have 50 doubles and 50 homers in the same season. And 144 games, what do you think his numbers would have been like in 162? What, 60 home runs? I mean, you talk about chasing after Roger Maris and all that, that would have been Albert Bell in 95, 3 years before we got McGuire and Sosa. And yet, because he was an a-hole and he was a jerk and he smashed the thermostat in the clubhouse and all that other good stuff that he did, he won the MVP of the league. He was the best player on the best team in his league by far, by tons. Ronnie is the same way. He's the best player in a team full of stars. You know, Murphy's been outstanding. Olsen's been outstanding. Ozzie's been outstanding. Heck, Arcia was the starting all-star shortstop. Riley has been great. Who am I missing? Michael Harris, Rosario, Ozuna. I mean, on a team loaded with star power, he stands above everybody. That tells you something. When you're the best player on this Braves roster that's putting up historic numbers, that tells you something. Again, he's not the best. It's not like he's the best player on the Oakland A's. Right? You know, again, you know, we talk about, you know, in the NBA, guys get criticized for putting up big numbers on bad teams, right? That was what Kevin Love's rep was. So Kevin Love helped win an NBA championship for the Cavs, and he was definitely one of the factors in that. But again, Kevin Love was looked at as a guy who, well, he's a really good player, but he puts up a whole bunch of numbers on bad teams. Well, this is the best team in baseball, and he's putting up big-time numbers, and he's putting up historic numbers. And he's putting up numbers that are putting him in a class by himself amongst every player at every position in the history of the Braves organization. Now, again, I'm going to preface. This is not Hugh Duffy Hugh Duffy in 1894 drove in 145 runs. That's the all-time record for the Braves. I'm not counting Hugh Duffy. Hugh Duffy's got 51 doubles in 1894. I'm not counting Hugh Duffy. Okay? Sorry. I'm taking him. Harry Stovey and Dick Johnston. That's not a porn movie. Okay? Those are the two guys that have the most triples in Braves history. They played in 1887 and 1891. Sorry. Chick Stahl in 18. Not counting those guys. I'm talking about modern day 20th century baseball. And it's monster numbers that he's putting up, historic numbers that he's putting up. And when you factor everything in and put him in the context of all-time numbers that Braves players have put up in seasons, and how many massive seasons, just even in the 20-year run of the divisions, right, in the 90s and everything in the 2000s, how many monster years did we see? Andrew and Chipper and this and that. Pendleton was an MVP. Chipper was an MVP. Andrew Jones was a 50 home run guy. Sheffield in 2003, hitting 337 with 139 RBI. Those are all massive numbers. What Ronnie's doing in the entirety of this season is putting it in the context of things. It's outstanding. It's a monster year. And I think that he deserves to be the MVP of the league. And like I said, I don't think the race should be as close as maybe some people do. You know, and look, maybe it'll come down to a cat hair whisker when all is said and done. But I think the Dodgers are going to split their votes between Mookie and Freddie. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of, again, those guys are both having monster years. Freddie's having a monster year. Everybody talks about Matt Olson. Freddie Freeman is right there on the coattails. He doesn't have the home run numbers, but Freddie Freeman is doing everything else. And by the way, he's usually hitting second in that lineup behind Mookie Betts a lot. But again, I think Ronnie has just had a monster year. And when you look in the context of what he's doing for an individual season, more than Murphy, more than Hank Aaron, more than Chipper, more than Sheffield, more than Andrew, I think he's having the best all-around season. By the way, too, I think he's going to win his first Gold Glove. I think when all is said and done, he's going to win his first Gold Glove this year. I think he's going to have the MVP award and his first Gold Glove when all is said and done. We'll see. Long way to go, but obviously he's on a monster pace right now. All right, Matt Mershell, when we get back, talk some football with the college football, national college football writer for the Orlando Sentinel, Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, and the game, the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio, 92.9, The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Key Studios Monday night with you. 404-726-0929, that is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, obviously a massive weekend coming up here in college football, as they always do. I mean, again, opening weekend in college football is just like the Daytona 500, right? You get the granddaddy of them all to start off the season. Always great action on opening weekend Fridays. Well, actually, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Action all weekend long. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to our buddy Matt Mershell, national college football writer for the Orlando Sentinel. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at OS Matt Mershell. Matt, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes here on the show with me tonight.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
You know, I want to start because part of the reason I wanted to have you on is to talk a little bit about Florida State. And I think you and I talked about this a little bit the last time. But, you know, when I start looking around the landscape of college football, that I think everything has come together for Mike Norvell and this Florida State team. They've got their quarterback, running backs, defensive line is going to be outstanding. You know, again, this is a big year for Florida State where it feels like, and I know you wrote about this, you know, that maybe they're back. How big of a game is this against LSU? When's the last time Florida State really kind of played in a game that could be this important in how many years?
It's been a while. It's got to be close to a decade. I mean, you know, 2017, 2016 was probably the last time they were actually playing in relevant games, you know, where they were ranked in the top 10. Ever since then, after Jimbo Fisher left to go to Texas A&M, you know, they went through a carousel of coaches until they got to Mike Norvell. And by the time Mike Norvell took over this program, you know, it was just in a sorry state. And you look at the roster he had was in the beginning in 2020 was nowhere near what it needed to be. It was not a top caliber roster. And he's been able to, you know, in a short period of time, rebuild that talent pool and do it through a transfer portal and through recruiting. But this game this weekend, I mean, this could say a lot for where Florida State, the direction of the Florida State program is going. I mean, if they were to get a win against a top five team, you know, basically in their own backyard, so to speak, here in Orlando, you know, in the national TV audience, I mean, it would be huge. It would give them a boost in recruiting. It would give them a boost and I'm sure from the boosters and the donations aspect of things. Those are all the elements that they need to kind of improve on if they want to get back to where they've been, you know, back in the 90s, in the heydays, under Bobby Bowden and everyone. I mean, so this is a big weekend for them. Now, if they lose this game, I'm not saying this, you know, throws the whole season off. But I think it depends on how they play in this game. It goes to show where maybe they have an opportunity to still make a big statement today, this weekend.
Well, and Matt, you know, to that, I mean, look, it's not going to be easy getting out of the month of September because, again, they've got Clemson and LSU in that first month. And I will say that if they get through those two teams, they're in the playoffs. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and say it, that I'm high on Florida State to be a playoff team this year. And I really do think if they get out of this first month unscathed, and maybe it's good in some ways to catch LSU and Clemson early in the year, but if they get out of this first month, I don't see a reason why Florida State won't be a playoff team.
Yeah, you would really, really believe that. I mean, you look at the rest of their schedule. October's got nobody, Virginia Tech, Syracuse, Duke. I would say that Pittsburgh game at Pittsburgh on November 4th could be a challenge for them. It's a road game, and, you know, Pitts played well. But outside of that, I mean, and you know, you go to Florida at the end of the year, but, again, I don't think the Gators are going to be anywhere near as relevant as they've been in the past. So, yeah, if they get through those two games, I mean, you got to imagine that this is a Florida State team that's probably going to be ranked in the top four. It's going to get into the playoff picture, and that alone would be huge. I mean, you think about where this program has been and where they would like to be at, and especially for Mike Norvell to really showcase the buy-in, the chemistry that he's built, the family atmosphere that he's put together with this program. I mean, to get to that point, to get to a playoff appearance, it'd be outstanding for them. And I'm sure it would do, you know, the ACC would love to have Florida State representing them, you know, because it's a national television brand, much like Clemson was as well.
You know, when we get to next Tuesday, I think the national media is going to have some fun because I think the SEC goes 0-3 in three of their big games. I think South Carolina gets beat by North Carolina. I think Florida State beats LSU. And I think Florida's going to get hammered when they go out to Utah. I think Utah's a sleeping giant, and they won some payback for that game last year. What would it say? I mean, again, Georgia and Alabama are the cream of the crop, and that's who's going to rule, you know, the SEC. But it would be interesting if South Carolina, LSU, and Florida all lose in kind of their sort of marquee matchups in opening weekend.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think you look at that Utah game. Utah's a tough place to win. Kyle Whittingham's done an amazing job with that program. Florida goes on the road. I think this Florida team's better than they were last year. I just don't know if the record's going to show it. You know, I think they've got better players, and I think their players have taken that next step under you know, Billy Napier. But I just think it's a tough place to win on a Thursday night, you know, in Utah. So I think you're very much on the road on that one. And South Carolina, we're just not really sure what Shane Beamer's team is going to be. And you know, yes, they're going to take care of, you know, they're going to get North Carolina and they're going to get Drake May. But, you know, which South Carolina team are we going to see? I mean, you look at last year, remember, they got beat, they got embarrassed by Florida. And then the following week, they pummeled Tennessee, you know, and then they go on and beat Clemson. So you got to wonder, what kind of South Carolina team is this going to be, you know, when they face North Carolina? And you got to imagine that Drake May, with some of the weapons he has, you know, is going to put up some big numbers. So it could be a very interesting weekend for the SEC, looking around and starting things off and where some of these teams are going to land.
Matt Michelle joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, national college football writer for the Orlando Sentinel. Are they going to get the Central Florida game in on Thursday? I mean, I know obviously all the hurricanes and we're dealing with rain and stuff here through Atlanta. What's the prognosis of that game getting played on Thursday?
Yeah, you know, at this point, they've all said that everyone has said that they're still on schedule to play on Thursday. I know I talked to Kent State spokesperson this morning and said, listen, their plan was to leave Wednesday afternoon, fly into Orlando. They believe the storm's going to miss, you know, Orlando area in the morning or Wednesday morning, and they're going to be able to fly in Wednesday afternoon to be there. I'm not so sure if that's going to be able to happen. I think it's being optimistic. I think more than likely what could happen is you could see Kent State come down here Tuesday, tomorrow afternoon, and maybe hang out and ride out the storm and then maybe try to get that game in. I think the biggest question is going to be, where does the storm go when you look at the path? You know, is it going to, you know, cause a lot of damage and devastation? Because believe me, having been through this many, many times in my life, you know, hosting a football game is the least thing to be thinking about during all this. And it also takes away from, you know, EMTs and fire department and police. If they're busy doing other things, you don't necessarily want to have a game. So you could maybe see that game get pushed on a Friday. But at this point right now, everyone still says it's a go for Thursday night.
You know, Matt, let me ask you about the Clemson-Duke game coming up on Monday. And, you know, I've been to Wallace Wade Stadium. It's not exactly the most intimidating place to have to play, you know, a college football game. But there is a lot of questions about what direction Clemson is going to be. And I don't think it's a matter of Clemson losing to Duke or whatever like that. But I really do think that I think for Clemson, they need some style points. Like, they need to look like the old Clemson. And I don't know, like I've said, the last 2 years, they have not been coached very well on offense. Like, their coaching philosophy has not been very good. It's not that they don't have players, but their coaching has, I think, really let them down. How important is this game just for Clemson to get that eye appeal back, that eye test back, where, okay, you know, we take Clemson as a serious contender for a national title?
Yeah, I think it's very important. I mean, listen, you're taking on a Duke team that had a great year last year. You know, Mike Elko's done a great job. You know, this is a team that you know, is going to give them a little bit of trouble. But if you're Clemson, you know, you got to come out there and showcase yourself offensively. I mean, you got a new offensive coordinator and Garrett Riley. Garrett Riley's job is to basically make this offense more exciting. You've got a top talent quarterback in Kate Klubnik. You hope that he's the guy that's going to be able to step up and make plays. You've got talents all around him with Will Shipley, you know, running back. You got talented receivers. Your offensive line comes back. This, to me, is where you've got to showcase that offense. You've got to show the development at the quarterback position. That's something that Clemson hasn't done over the last 3 or 4 years. And it's not because they haven't had the talent. It's just they somehow have not been able to get the things to work out right. I mean, G.J. Ugalele was supposed to be the next big thing from Trevor Lawrence, and he just fell apart. They just couldn't find a way to get him to play better. And then now you've got Cade, and yes, they made a strong push last year, but you've got to think at some point they've got to be even stronger this year if they feel like they're going to make any sort of statement. And against a Duke team that's going to, you know, that's going to challenge them a little bit. You know, I think this is a Duke team that's got a good defensive line that's going to come forward and try to put a lot of pressure on them. So I think this is a big showcase for them, and they want to start out on the right foot because they realize, as you mentioned earlier, they got Florida State a couple weeks away, and they want to make sure they handle that game just as well.
And Matt, I will say I think what's going to be the most fun battle in college football, and this is kind of my take on it. I think the most fun battle is going to be who's going to win the Big Ten Offensive Player of the Year award. It's going to be Blake Corum or Marvin Harrison Jr., because I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best player in college football, and I would not be in the least bit surprised with the way the NFL values the wide receiver position and is paying these guys ungodly sums of money to be wide receivers in the league now. I wouldn't be surprised at all, even with all the quarterbacks, if Marvin Harrison's not the number one overall pick next year in the draft.
Yeah, I think it depends a lot on what the performances are. Like, if Caleb Williams comes out and wins another Heisman, let's not think that he's not going to somehow, you know, I mean, that wouldn't put his name at the top of that list. But I agree with you. I mean, if the quarterbacks are okay this year, you know, if I'm a GM, an NFL GM, I look at a wide receiver. I look at someone who can get the ball in his hands and do multiple things. Yes, quarterback's an important position, but wide receiver is very much important. We know that running backs are devalued in the NFL, so that to me would be a guy I would want to go after. Not to say that Blake Corum isn't an outstanding running back and is going to put up big numbers again, but to go to the NFL, he's a guy that's not going to get picked, you know, until late in the first round, more than likely. And where Harrison would probably be, like you said, first, second, maybe third pick of the overall of the draft, depending on what happens to the quarterback situation.
Yeah, and again, I think if the Houston Texans are sitting there at number one, I would not understand how they would not take Marvin Harrison and partner him back up with C.J. Stroud, but that's just me. You know, again, those guys have done pretty well with one another. Matt, give me a team in one of the group of five that could make some noise this year. I mean, obviously, we've seen Cincinnati over the last few years make some noise. Obviously, Tulane had a really good year last year. Give me a group of five team that you've got your eye on that you think could be pretty good or upset the apple cart this year.
Well, I think, you know, you talked about Tulane. You know, I mean, I still think Tulane's going to be a strong showcase this year. I mean, you know, the American needs someone to step up now that UCF and Cincinnati and Houston have left. I think Tulane, Willie Fritz has always been one of those underrated coaches, in my opinion, a guy who could definitely step in and find a way to continue this program and get it up there. I think UTSA is one of those programs, too, as well, that's been just right there. They had a strong season last year. Again, can they make a push? Is it enough to get into the college football playoff, you know, like into the New Year's Six college football playoff mix? Maybe you're looking at it. I would also, you know, argue that you could look at a team like a Boise State. You know, Boise State is has always seemed to have been on the cusp of being right there, maybe to make a big push. They did it under Chris Peterson. Brian Harsin obviously had to take them to the next level. They've been down a little bit here or there, but again, you're talking about the Mountain West. What can you showcase in the Mountain West? You know, I think, to me, it's not going to be a team from the American maybe so much so that is the top team. I think I'm looking at maybe the Sun Belt or Mountain West. I think the American takes a little step back this year, and I think those two conferences, the Group of Five conferences, maybe produce a team because, again, lots of realignment, lots of teams have gone in there, and I think both those conferences have gotten a little bit stronger.
Matt, last question for you. I mean, look, there's no question about the strength and the power of the University of Georgia. Is there anything that you see on the horizon that could be a stumbling block? I don't see with their regular season schedule, and obviously with Oklahoma not on the schedule, I don't see a reason why they're not 12-0 heading to the SEC title game this year.
Well, if they're not 12-0 and they get to the SEC championship game, I would be disappointed. It would be a disappointment you look at their schedule. I mean, this is not the strongest of schedules, believe me, as we all know. And I think that, you know, even with a new quarterback, even with Carson Beck coming in, and, you know, you have enough talent on the defensive side of the football that they're going to keep games close. And as long as you don't turn the ball over, and as long as you don't, you know, really, you know, get, you know, shoot yourself in the foot, I think they have an opportunity to be in every game. They should win every game by double digits going into that. Then you get into the SEC championship game, and that remains to be seen who they end up facing, and maybe that may be a big of a challenge. But I figure they're going to get to the college football playoff. I think they're going to be right there once again, and they've got a good chance. If everything comes together and gels right, they've got a good chance to get that third straight national championship, which would be unbelievable when you think about in today's day and age. I mean, last one happened in Minnesota in the mid-30s. So for when you look at a guy like Kirby Smart, the job he's been able to do at Georgia, and to be able to reload after all the pieces that they lost last year going to the NFL, I just think everything just worked out really well for him. If that schedule is a little tougher, maybe you point to some things, but there's no one on this schedule that I look at right now that I think has any chance really of making it difficult for them.
I said last question, but a quick 30-second answer. You know, is the SEC is going to go away from divisions next year? The ACC is obviously going divisionless this year. Do you like division play, or do you like the idea of, like what the Big 12 has done, just you have every team top to bottom and the top two teams play each other for the conference championship?
You know, I've kind of back and forth on this. I do like divisions at times because I do think that, you know, coaches like this idea and players like the idea of being a division champion. You know, it makes things a little easier when you're looking at the conference championship game. But having been around the ACC for a while and you see what, you know, the ACC really kind of struggled after for many years, Clemson being the top team, and then, you know, the second best team sometimes wasn't even from the same division. You know, I mean, maybe it would be from the Coastal Division, you know, I mean, or the Atlantic as well. And so, you know, I think not having divisions works for me. I think, you know, getting the two best teams out there and let's see what happens. And I think it's gonna benefit people. I know coaches kind of grumble about it, and players do sometimes, but I think not having divisions is going to work out really well for college football in the future.
Matt Michelle is a national college football writer for the Orlando Sentinel. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Key Studios Monday night with you. 404-726-0929, that is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, obviously a massive weekend coming up here in college football, as they always do. I mean, again, opening weekend in college football is just like the Daytona 500, right? You get the granddaddy of them all to start off the season. Always great action on opening weekend Fridays. Well, actually, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Action all weekend long. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to our buddy Matt Michelle, national college football writer for the Orlando Sentinel. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at OS Matt Michelle. Matt, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes here on the show with me tonight.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
You know, I want to start because part of the reason I wanted to have you on is to talk a little bit about Florida State. And I think you and I talked about this a little bit the last time. But, you know, when I start looking around the landscape of college football, that I think everything has come together for Mike Norvell and this Florida State team. They've got their quarterback, running backs, defensive line is going to be outstanding. You know, again, this is a big year for Florida State where it feels like, and I know you wrote about this, you know, that maybe they're back. how big of a game is this against LSU? When's the last time Florida State really kind of played in a game that could be this important, and how many years?
It's been a while. It's got to be close to a decade. I mean, you know, 2017, 2016 was probably the last time they were actually playing in relevant games, you know, where they were ranked in the top 10. Ever since then, after Jimbo Fisher left to go to Texas A&M, you know, they went through a carousel of coaches until they got to Mike Norvell. And by the time Mike Norvell took over this program, you know, it was just in a sorry state. And you look at the roster he had was in the beginning in 2020 was nowhere near what it needed to be. It was not a top caliber roster. And he's been able to, you know, in a short period of time, rebuild that talent pool and do it through a transfer portal and through recruiting. But this game this weekend, I mean, this could say a lot for where Florida State, the direction of the Florida State program is going. I mean, if they were to get a win against the top five team, you know, basically in their own backyard, so to speak, here in Orlando, you know, in the national TV audience, I mean, it would be huge. It would give them a boost in recruiting. It would give them a boost in I'm sure from the boosters and the donations aspect of things. Those are all the elements that they need to kind of improve on if they want to get back to where they've been, you know, back in the 90s, in the heydays, under Bobby Bowden and everyone. I mean, so this is a big weekend for them. Now, if they lose this game, I'm not saying this, you know, throws the whole season off. But I think it depends on how they play in this game. It goes to show where maybe they have an opportunity to still make a big statement today, this weekend.
Well, and Matt, you know, to that, I mean, look, it's not going to be easy getting out of the month of September because, again, they've got Clemson and LSU in that first month. And I will say that if they get through those two teams, they're in the playoffs. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and say it, that I'm high on Florida State to be a playoff team this year. And I really do think if they get out of this first month unscathed, and maybe it's good in some ways to catch LSU and Clemson early in the year, but if they get out of this first month, I don't see a reason why Florida State won't be a playoff team.
Yeah, you would really, really believe that. I mean, you look at the rest of their schedule. October's got nobody, Virginia Tech, Syracuse, Duke. I would say that Pittsburgh game at Pittsburgh on November 4th could be a challenge for them. It's a road game, and, you know, Pitts played well, but outside of that, I mean, and you know, you go to Florida at the end of the year, but again, I don't think the Gators are going to be anywhere near as relevant as they've been in the past. So, yeah, if they get through those two games, I mean, you got to imagine that this is a Florida State team that's probably going to be ranked in the top four. It's going to get into the playoff picture, and that alone would be huge. I mean, you think about where this program has been and where they would like to be at, and especially for Mike Norvell to really showcase the buy-in, the chemistry that he's built, the family atmosphere that he's put together with this program. I mean, to get to that point, to get to a playoff appearance, it'd be outstanding for them. And I'm sure it would do, you know, the ACC would love to have Florida State representing them, you know, because it's a national television brand, much like Clemson was as well.
You know, when we get to next Tuesday, I think the national media is going to have some fun because I think the SEC goes 0-3 in three of their big games. I think South Carolina gets beat by North Carolina. I think Florida State beats LSU. And I think Florida's going to get hammered when they go out to Utah. I think Utah's a sleeping giant, and they want some payback for that game last year. What would it say? I mean, again, Georgia and Alabama are the cream of the crop, and that's who's going to rule, you know, the SEC. But it would be interesting if South Carolina, LSU, and Florida – all lose in kind of their sort of marquee matchups in opening weekend.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think you look at that Utah game. Utah's a tough place to win. Kyle Whittingham's done an amazing job with that program. Florida goes on the road. I think this Florida team's better than they were last year. I just don't know if the record's going to show it. You know, I think they've got better players, and I think their players have taken that next step under you know, Billy Napier. But I just think it's a tough place to win on a Thursday night, you know, in Utah. So you're very much on the road on that one. And South Carolina, we're just not really sure what Shane Beamer's team is going to be. And you know, yes, they're going to take care of, you know, they're going to get North Carolina and they're going to get Drake May. But, you know, which South Carolina team are we going to see? I mean, you look at last year, remember, they got beat, they got embarrassed by Florida. And then the following week, they pummeled Tennessee, you know, and then they go on and beat Clemson. So you got to wonder what kind of South Carolina team is this going to be, you know, when they face North Carolina. And you got to imagine that Drake May, with some of the weapons he has, you know, is going to put up some big numbers. So it could be a very interesting weekend for the SEC, looking around and starting things off and where some of these teams are going to land.
Matt Mischel joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, national college football writer for the Orlando Sentinel. Are they going to get the Central Florida game in on Thursday? I mean, I know obviously all the hurricanes and we're dealing with rain and stuff here through Atlanta. What's the prognosis of that game getting played on Thursday?
Yeah, you know, at this point they've all said that everyone has said that they're still on schedule to play on Thursday. I know I talked to Kent State spokesperson this morning and said, listen, their plan was to leave Wednesday afternoon, fly into Orlando. They believe the storm's going to miss, you know, Orlando area in the morning or Wednesday morning, and they're going to be able to fly in Wednesday afternoon to be there. I'm not so sure if that's going to be able to happen. I think it's being optimistic. I think more than likely what could happen is you could see Kent State come down here Tuesday, tomorrow afternoon, and maybe hang out and ride out the storm and then maybe try to get that game in. I think the biggest question is just going to be, where does the storm go when you look at the path? You know, is it going to, you know, cause a lot of damage and devastation? Because believe me, having been through this many, many times in my life, you know, hosting a football game is the least thing to be thinking about during all this. And it also takes away from, you know, EMTs and fire department and police. If they're busy doing other things, you don't necessarily want to have a game. So you could maybe see that game get pushed on a Friday. But at this point right now, everyone still says it's a go for Thursday night.
You know, Matt, let me ask you about the Clemson-Duke game coming up on Monday. And, you know, I've been to Wallace Wade Stadium. It's not exactly the most intimidating place to have to play, you know, a college football game. But there is a lot of questions about what direction Clemson is going to be. And I don't think it's a matter of Clemson losing to Duke or whatever like that. But I really do think that I think for Clemson, they need some style points. Like, they need to look like the old Clemson. And I don't know, like I've said, the last 2 years, they have not been coached very well on offense. Like, their coaching philosophy has not been very good. It's not that they don't have players, but their coaching has, I think, really let them down. How important is this game just for Clemson to get that eye appeal back, that eye test back, where, okay, you know, we take Clemson as a serious contender for a national title?
Yeah, I think it's very important. I mean, listen, you're taking on a Duke team that had a great year last year. You know, Mike Elko's done a great job. You know, this is a team that you know, is going to give them a little bit of trouble. But if you're Clemson, you know, you got to come out there and showcase yourself offensively. I mean, you got a new offensive coordinator and Garrett Riley. Garrett Riley's job is to basically make this offense more exciting. You've got a top talent quarterback in Kate Klubnik. You hope that he's the guy that's going to be able to step up and make plays. You've got talents all around him with Will Shipley, you know, running back. You got talented receivers. Your offensive line comes back. This, to me, is where you've got to showcase that offense. You've got to show the development at the quarterback position. That's something that Clemson hasn't done over the last 3 or 4 years. It's not because they haven't had the talent. It's just they somehow have not been able to get the things to work out right. I mean, G.J. Uiagalelei was supposed to be the next big thing from Trevor Lawrence, and he just fell apart. They just couldn't find a way to get him to play better. And then now you've got Cade, and yes, they made a strong push last year, but you've got to think at some point they've got to be even stronger this year if they feel like they're going to make any sort of statement. And against a Duke team that's gonna challenge them a little bit. You know, I think this is a Duke team that's got a good defensive line that's gonna come forward and try to put a lot of pressure on them. So I think this is a big showcase for them. And they wanna start out on the right foot because they realize, as you mentioned earlier, they got Florida State a couple weeks away and they wanna make sure they handle that game just as well.
And Matt, I will say I think what's gonna be the most fun battle in college football, and this is kind of my take on it, I think the most fun battle is going to be who's going to win the Big Ten Offensive Player of the Year award. Is it going to be Blake Corum or Marvin Harrison Jr.? Because I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best player in college football, and I would not be in the least bit surprised with the way the NFL values the wide receiver position and is paying these guys ungodly sums of money to be wide receivers in the league now. I wouldn't be surprised at all, even with all the quarterbacks, if Marvin Harrison's not the number one overall pick next year in the draft.
Yeah, I think it depends a lot on what the performances are. Like, if Caleb Williams comes out and wins another Heisman, let's not think that he's not going to somehow, you know, I mean, that wouldn't put his name at the top of that list. But I agree with you. I mean, if the quarterbacks are okay this year, you know, if I'm a GM, an NFL GM, I look at a wide receiver. I look at someone who can get the ball in his hands and do multiple things. Yes, quarterback's an important position, but wide receiver is very much important. We know that running backs are devalued in the NFL, so that to me would be a guy I would want to go after. Not to say that Blake Corum isn't an outstanding running back and is going to put up big numbers again, but to go to the NFL, he's a guy that's not going to get picked, you know, until late in the first round, more than likely, and where Harrison would probably be, like you said, first, second, maybe third pick of the overall of the draft, depending on what happens to the quarterback situation.
Yeah, and again, I think if the Houston Texans are sitting there at number one, I would not understand how they would not take Marvin Harrison and partner him back up with C.J. Stroud, but that's just me. You know, again, those guys have done pretty well with one another. Matt, give me a team in one of the group of five that could make some noise this year. I mean, obviously, we've seen Cincinnati over the last few years make some noise. Obviously, Tulane had a really good year last year. Give me a group of five team that you've got your eye on that you think could be pretty good or upset the apple cart this year.
Well, I think, you know, I think you talked about Tulane. You know, I mean, I still think Tulane's going to be a strong showcase this year. I mean, you know, the American needs someone to step up now that UCF and Cincinnati and Houston have left. I think Tulane, Willie Fritz has always been one of those underrated coaches, in my opinion, a guy who could definitely step in and find a way to continue this program and get it up there. I think UTSA is one of those programs, too, as well, that's been just right there. They had a strong season last year. Again, can they make a push? Is it enough to get into the college football playoff, you know, like into the New Year's Six college football playoff mix? Maybe you're looking at it. I would also, you know, argue that you could look at a team like a Boise State. You know, Boise State is has always seemed to have been on the cusp of being right there, maybe to make a big push. They did it under Chris Peterson. Brian Harsin obviously had to take them to the next level. They've been down a little bit here or there, but again, you're talking about the Mountain West. What can you showcase in the Mountain West? You know, I think, to me, it's not going to be a team from the American maybe so much so that is the top team. I think I'm looking at maybe the Sun Belt or Mountain West. I think the American takes a little step back this year, and I think those two conferences, the Group of Five conferences, maybe produce a team because, again, lots of realignment, lots of teams have gone in there, and I think both those conferences have gotten a little bit stronger.
Matt, last question for you. I mean, look, there's no question about the strength and the power of the University of Georgia. Is there anything that you see on the horizon that could be a stumbling block? I don't see with their regular season schedule, and obviously with Oklahoma not on the schedule, I don't see a reason why they're not 12-0 heading to the SEC title game this year.
Well, if they're not 12-0 and they get to and they get to the SEC championship game, I would be disappointed. It would be a disappointment you look at their schedule. I mean, this is not the strongest of schedules, believe me, as we all know. And I think that, you know, even with a new quarterback, even with Carson Beck coming in, and you know, you have enough talent on the defensive side of the football that they're going to keep games close. And as long as you don't turn the ball over, and as long as you don't, you know, really, you know, shoot yourself in the foot, I think they have an opportunity to be in every game. They should win every game by double digits going into that. Then you get into the SEC championship game, and that remains to be seen who they end up facing, and maybe that be a bit of a challenge. But I figure they're going to get to the college football playoff. I think they're going to be right there once again, and they have got a good chance. If everything comes together and gels right, they've got a good chance to get that third straight national championship, which would be unbelievable when you think about in today's day and age. I mean, last one happened in, what, Minnesota in the mid-30s. So for when you look at a guy like Kirby Smart, the job he's been able to do at Georgia, and to be able to reload after all the pieces they lost last year going to the NFL, I just think everything just worked out really well for them. If that schedule is a little tougher, maybe you'd point to some things, but there's no one on this schedule that I look at right now that I think has any chance really of making it difficult for them.
I said last question, but a quick 30-second answer. You know, as the SEC is going to go away from divisions next year, the ACC is obviously going divisionless this year. Do you like division play, or do you like the idea of, like what the Big 12 has done, just you have every team top to bottom and the top two teams play each other for the conference championship?
You know, I've kind of back and forth on this. I do like divisions at times because I do think that, you know, coaches like this idea and players like the idea of being a division champion. You know, it makes things a little easier when you're looking at the conference championship game. But having been around the ACC for a while and you see what, you know, the ACC really kind of struggled that for many years, Clemson being the top team, and then, you know, the second best team sometimes wasn't even from the same division. You know, I mean, maybe it would be from the Coastal Division, you know, I mean, or in the Atlantic as well. So, you know, I think not having divisions works for me. I think, you know, getting the two best teams out there and let's see what happens. And I think it's gonna benefit people. I know coaches kind of grumble about it, and players do sometimes, but I think not having divisions is going to work out really well for college football in the future.
Matt Michelle is a national college football writer for the Orlando Sentinel. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at OS Matt Michelle, and he joined me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Matt, as always, buddy, appreciate the conversation. Good stuff tonight, as always, and we'll certainly chat again here through the season.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot. Take
you
care.
Got it. When we get back from the top of the hour, Falcons flyover coming up. Pro Football Focus, and I've been waiting for this article for a little while. Pro Football Focus has their three bold predictions in the NFC South, and specifically each of the teams with the Atlanta Falcons. And let me just preface, it ain't so bold. But we'll talk about that next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 910 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating canvas sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.